Session number 21631, Wheel 2.
Brian Coleman, Reel 2. We haven't made it clear which regiment, squadron and troop you're in. Can you tell me, please?
In the book. On the cover.
That's all right, you say, because nobody can see.
7952749, Coleman, B.G. A date of enlistment, 13-3-42.
And your regiment?
If 58th Training Regiment, Royal Armoured Corps, Bovington. 26-week course, a raw recruit comes in, 26 weeks later he's a fully trained soldier. Mechanics, gunnery, radio, field craft, camouflage, digging in tanks, digging them in the ground so that the turret only is visible. We never did in the war, we're taught to it. 26 weeks later, a fully trained soldier, I was posted to the 1st Northamptonshire Yeomanry. It spelling was for me. I was posted to Marlborough in Wiltshire. I was posted to 4 Troop B Squadron on the, I've forgotten the date, 1st week of October, that'll do. I was in 4 Troop Sergeant Smith, Lance Corporal Houghton, Corporal Blake, and Corporal Lear. They were the NCOs in my troop. Sergeant, we didn't have one at the time. He'd been posted to Middle East. There were more private soldiers posted in the Middle East than there were officers. Recruits came and went. We had a, I think at Bovington or Catterick were the main supply regiments, training regiments, and one lot came in, and 2 days later, all 60 of them were issued with, what's the name? Not a cold kit. Oh, what's the hot weather kit? Christ almighty.
Tropical kit?
Yes. Yeah, tropical kit. Knees, short, slouch hats, open neck shirts, shorts. And this happened several times at Marlborough. Chappies came in, all those in 23, 24 and 20 top hut parade. And they were dished out with a tropical kit, only been in 20 weeks. That was when Rommel, that's before Alamein. These blokes came in and had a tropical kit, kitted out perfectly, and they were only there 2 days. The MOs felt them, they were bright, warm, okay. It was superficial. And they ended up the reserve troops of Alamein night. October 42. And they got on a boat and went in the thick of it. Those left behind, we were, what was the date?
Don't worry about dates anyway.
It's in the book. It's in the book. After Marlborough, the regiment moved to Warminster. Warminster always, always been a garrison town. The edge of Salisbury Plain. The Valentines were taken away, and we were given Crusaders and Colonanders. They were the most dangerous tank in the British Army. They fed on 100 octane aircraft fuel. I tipped one over, a bank gave away, and we were engulfed in flames. Luckily, the turret hatches were open. It's about 11 o'clock at night on exercise. We got out all right. There was a court inquiry, and the brakes had failed earlier in the day, and do you know anything about hydraulics?
Not really.
Hydraulic is good when it's working right. If an air brake is not working right, it still works. There's plenty of fresh air coming in on a compressor. And these Covenanters were air steering, air brakes, everything. And they were pre-war manufacture, about 38. They never went into action. They're a death trap. If the turret was in one position, the driver couldn't get out. Both ways. It never went into action. The Crusader had lift-up flaps that folded down in front of you. No problem. Then we had the Matilda, that's right. Long got up, I go. No. We went all over Marlborough Downs. We're standing in Marlborough, and Marlborough Downs night marches were a comic interlude. The tanks were built in 38. By 42, they'd outlived their usefulness. They were a training tank.
When you say night marches, you mean going in
driving
tanks?
Driving at night, yes. Your march, a night march, tank march. You are four tanks a troop, five troops in a squadron. That's 28, something like that in a troop. Followed by the fitter's half track. You don't know half track?
Yes.
Yeah. I might be talking in a converted, never mind. Half the tanks, the life of a tank was 3,000 miles. It was knackered. But they continued to use them. We had a load of brand new tanks coming. And they disappeared a week later. That was to... We landed in Tunis, I think, whereas the other we battered on the Marist line, straight down to the tee. Can you recall the name? Marist line? We had a second one from half the battlemen, soldiers, were United States Army. And they, can you visualize this map? Gulf of Tunis, big, I had a stroke some months ago and I got tongue-tied. My memory's all right. I can drive.
But you weren't in North Africa, were you?
No. But that was the another Yeomanry regiment. My cousin, my mother's nephew, that's right, he went out to Africa with the horses, the Royal Wiltshire Yeomanry. They had horses.
But let's stick to what you did. Mm. Can you take me through going over to Normandy, what you remember about going to Normandy, please?
We scrubbed every inch with soap and water, the ink carrier of the tank. Scrubbed. Soap and water. Later on, we realised why we did it. The tanks had to be waterproofed up to turret level. The Shermans were the tanks we landed in. Scrub everything. Everything was covered in plastic to keep the water out of the lighting. Water in the,
Don't worry about looking
at pictures.
Don't worry about pictures.
Some tanks flooded, scrambled out, and they had to be rescued by the scowl, the big scowl, to clear the way. Water in the tank engine doesn't do any good.
Was this your own channel crossing?
We crossed on a tank landing craft. Sorry, tank landing ship. A tank landing craft would carry six tanks. A tank landing ship carried 30. The tank landing craft had to live on haversack rations, tin cans. The ship, with 30 tanks on, had a proper galley. It was just like luck of the draw. Some had haversack rations, everything in a tin. We had an American cook, a Yankee ship, a big Negro chef. They fed us well. And we started off for the Normandy beach as dawn was breaking. And we offloaded at 5 p.m. that night, 12 hours later. They told us that the traffic was too big to be handled on the French roads and villages. Most villages were flattened by that time.
So this was this after D-Day?
Yes, we did the D4, a 10th. That took some 10 to me, D-Day plus 4. And when we were hung about, we didn't move off Clifftop Field for how long?
Don't worry about figures, just go from memory.
and Carr was holding out. And 49 div, 51 div, and 55 div infantry went into Carr, but because of the 1,000 bomber raid, you couldn't get a pushbike in that town. It was so damaged that tanks couldn't operate. You got a boulder that big, you can't get away with that. And there was not one roof in the part of Calm we had lived, we were in, undamaged, nothing. They had a 1,000 bomber raid on a place, that's also at Horsbury. A summer 1,000 bomber raid on Caen overnight. They started at dusk, and the entire it was impossible for a tracked vehicle to get into the town. The poor old infantry boys had to do it themselves.
Had you done any fighting before you went to Caen?
Yes.
Can you describe the fighting that you were first in Normandy?
We were 50. I can't remember the date, but the division where we were supporting, but we had a line of tanks looking over a hedgerow. And we did that for about 4 days. That was the last reserve of the British Army. Three lines of defence, and we didn't fire a shot. We were the last line of defence, so the blokes that were there in the first and second lines were doing a good job. And we fired our first shot on the 24th or 25th day of the month from D-Day. The boys at the front were doing well, but the casualties were heavy, very heavy. I might have another book.
No, don't worry about books, just go from memory, please.
How far do you want me to go?
Right through, please.
Got a day and a half? When we finished knocking Caen about, tanks could not go in. Every house had a ruptured roof. There was no roof in Caen habitable. We had to go around the town, squeeze the jerry, and they retreated. After that, we... I've forgotten dates.
Oh, don't worry about dates. I'm not bothered about dates at all.
We lost Sergeant Frost and Trooper Walsh by long-range gunnery from Jerry, firing on our lines. Raw Frost, that's right. I'd give you all the names who want them. They were both B-200 blokes. And... he was buried next morning under hedgerow. We've been over since, and all the blokes, they tried to bury them as close to where they fell. And all our beast gun blokes are in one particular cemetery, and I can't forget the name of that.
That's all right, don't worry about the name of the cemetery.
Yeah. Have you shown...
No, don't worry about the books and so on, but...
Have you seen the casualty list?
Yes.
174 in the regiment.
What other personal memories have you got of being in Normandy?
Getting pissed. Monsieur! Stone jars of cider. If Jerry Cat attacked one day, he walked it. Don't drink too much, chaps. Eggs.
Was this from the civilians?
Oh, so, they came back as quick as they... If their house was not damaged, they came back quickly. Partly damaged, they came back slowly. If you wanted anything, monsieur, eggs, potatoes, what was the other? There was plenty of eggs.
What were you giving in return?
Petrol. You used a gallon and half an hour. They don't, in England, you'd have to sign for every gallon you used. When you went abroad, every time you stopped, fill up. Fill up immediately. You may be ordered quickly to go somewhere else. That has happened, and tanks were, petrol tanks were going dry. There was a system, 1, 2, 3, a petrol changeover switch, 3 tanks, and you had to remember which one you're using.
What did you fill up from?
Jerry cans.
Where did the jerry cans full of petrol come from? Was it diesel?
No, petrol. Diesel tanks were, D-Day tanks, would not catch fire. There was a great shortage of diesel tanks. They were the Donald Duck tanks, amphibic, fitted with floats. They were DD tanks, double duplex drive. We had Wright Cyclone engines. I'm telling a lie. The Wright Cyclone engine has 2 banks. When they decided to build a small engine, they'd call it a Whirlwind. The same engine, same size, but 1 bank instead of 2. They're quite big enough. We normally, you didn't do much driving and such. You hiding behind hedgerows. Longest trip we did it. About 40 miles, one end of the front to the other. That's the longest trip we did, about 40 miles. One regiment had been knocked about a bit, and we were in the reserve, and we went home there. Happily, Shermans are very easy to put right. It's an aircraft engine. 6-foot fan. No wonder we were cold. The air cut down through the turret to cool the engine. Air-cooled engine. The swing tank had a diesel engine. They were less prone to catch fire. 100 octane flares. Diesel, you've got to chuck a piece of racket into, ignite it. That's why the D-Day tanks were... We had diesel tanks, but there were shortages, and we finished up with Wright Cyclone aircraft engines.
Did any of your tanks get hit in Normandy?
Oh.
No, of yours personally?
No, we got hit in Holland. Well, when we were hit, it went straight to the side of the petrol tank, out. And it, but Leys could be seen 20 miles away on a hill. You could hear a tank brewing up 20 miles away. 500 gallon, octane, 100 octane, a spark would set it off. Awful things. The spark of the, a missile going through a tank causes a spark. That's why they ignited him. What were they joking? Ah, I told you, they nicknamed one Vestas. They light at first strike. Cynical bloody soldiers.
And whereabouts in Holland were you when your tank was hit?
Oh. Serkenbosch.
Where?
Serkenbosch. It's a letter, small letter S, H-E-R-E-N-D-E, by B-O-S-C-H. It's right in the centre of Holland.
And was this a Firefly or an ordinary Sherman?
No, an ordinary Sherman. I'd jumped off a tank to get the tarpaulin off, and the rope wrapped itself around my shoulder. Bloody hospital red. I'll be all right tomorrow. All right, you swap him with him. And Mr. Green got killed the next night. And Sergeant I can see the blokes, made them know. He'd been sent up to replace his officer. He'd come from the desert, done 5 years in the desert, put in action, leading tank, brewed up 5 minutes later. Dave Buck, his name was. Dave Buck.
So when the tank was hit at Sertogenbosch, were you injured?
No, we all got out, except Derek Kinley lost the hearing.
Lost what?
Hearing. It's the biggest disabler in tanks. Something exploding in a little size that. He finished up in roll call signals. He downright graded.
Did the Sherman catch fire?
The Shermans always caught fire. They called them matchboxes.
And yet, none of you were injured?
No. The tank, the engine of a Right Whirlwind is about 6 foot high. The reason the Sherman was high, so high, they were churning out aircraft engines to a penny. That Whirlwind engine is a 1930-34 design.